Welcome to Home Guard Radio, bringing you all the latest from our chaps at the front.
Welcome back. This is episode 7 of Home Guard Radio. Title for this week is White is the New Grey. First of all, better introduce ourselves. I'm Craig and I'm back again. I'm joined today by...
I'm Stephen Bonham.
We need to make a couple of apologies first. First of all, I'd like to say that Andy Warden unfortunately is not with us because he's missing in action, presumed up to his neck in nappies. Andy and Ali, well, they're both working. Me and Bonner got the day off, so we thought I'd do a recording. So, just to explain why I've been gone for so long. As you may have seen on the site, we record with 60s to Hit. It's a local war game store in Edinburgh, and they've just opened a brand new location. So me and Mr. Bonner have spent the best part of 3 months helping out build the place, fit it out, and obviously Mr. Bonner's doing his special Facebook skills. Second big announcement we've got is that we've got a sponsor. We have a sponsor. Don't know if Mr. Bonner knows about this yet.
No, this is news to me.
The 60s to Hit War Game Store is actually going to have a cafe at the front of it. Uh-huh. It's not currently finished yet because somebody called Craig hasn't quite finished in all the plumbing work. Too busy recording podcasts. But the cafe is Babylicious, and it is going to be a sort of little tea room coffee shop selling cakes, homemade cakes and things with a sort of World War II bomber nose art feel. So if you want to pay attention onto the Facebook page, there's actually going to be the logo for the company, the shop up and running in the next couple of days. Because my lovely Canadian wee honey has finally sent me the logo for it.
At which point I will then share it with you all.
Yep, so prepare for Facebook spam all over the place.
And now the latest briefing from the Logistics Corps.
So, as the intro said there, we're in the Logistics Corps. The first part, hand over to Mr. Bonner.
Right, so I've managed to pick up a new job within the 6th. I'm now the Chief Commission Builder for 6th for all boat action related miniatures. And so far I've managed to do 3 whole commissions in the past 2 weeks.
Yeah, one of them was British, wasn't it? With our lovely hands and weapons separate.
Yes. The commission was, there was 26 of the German early war, which Blitzkrieg is the Blitzkrieg ones. Yeah. First time getting a hold of that kit, without instructions as well, and they are sweet to put together. There's no ifs or buts about it, it's easy to figure out where goes where. The other commission I've just finished is a Russian box of infantry. Again, hands and weapons separate.
Yeah.
This one was the most uncomfortable one that I've found, because they've got so much options.
Yeah.
Within the kit alone for the rifles, the split between the winter and the summer clothes as well, making sure that the right arms go in the right bodies.
Well, one thing about that, you don't happen to have any of the little PPS submachine guns left with the round drum barrel, do you?
I do, but I've handed the commission back to Kenny, but there should be a few of those kicking about if the person's willing to separate with them, because I did hand all the spare parts back. I don't know the gentleman I've built them for, but it's one of those ones that the British that I did, I had a box of Tommies and a box of Commandos, and I made somewhere in the region over 1,000-point army list from that, from 2 boxes.
It's pretty good. I've been building a British army for my friend, Professor James. I've had the 1,000-point starter box for 4 months now.
Minimum 4 months.
I've glued together the Cromwell with an aerial. I've glued together an officer, an artillery observer, and put 10 bodies on bases. And that took me 3 weeks because the kits they're very nice, but they're not as simple as the Marines.
Yeah, I can definitely beat you for speed building.
Yeah, but my stuff looks cooler.
True, you did have that nice conversion for the officer's head.
Yes.
The hat.
Yeah, I took Blitzkrieg German peaked hat and scraped off the tiny little eagle and put it on the British officer and make it look he's got a proper peaked cap. It looks not too bad.
Still to see it, but...
Yeah, I'll get there.
I'm wanting pics.
We've been otherwise occupied.
Because I'm interested, because I might be stealing that conversion once I get a hold of my own stuff to build.
Maybe you take and build your own stuff?
Oh, I've still got a box of Perry's 8th Army to put together for the British, but
okay.
That'll be in between jobs because I managed to get a hold of my Mad Bob miniatures.
Oh, I've seen these. I saw these upstairs.
Three Katusha rockets mounted on the back of the ZIS-6 trucks.
Impressive.
And three L-62s with the Finnish heavy anti-aircraft Bofors, I believe it is.
No, oh, that's the open turret.
Open
yeah,
turret.
Yeah, that looks cool.
Very, very nice models.
Do you know what I thought was the best part about them? This is going to sound really pathetic. I love the stamp on the bottom where it says Mad Bob. I just love that.
That was the first thing when I turned over, I found I was like, that is fantastic. That's just cool. Having the Mad Bob stamp on the bottom of them was fantastic.
It's like a stamp of approval.
Oh, yes. The sculpts themselves is fantastic. I've not actually got round to putting the bombs on the Katushas yet, but it looks so easy. There's not really instructions there, but it's all intuitive. It's all the bits are there.
Yeah,
I've got spare turrets for the anti-aircraft cannons.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
For the Hungarian version of that tank.
Oh. Actually, there was a guy at my work called Marton who is Hungarian. He was ridiculously excited when he heard there was a company making Hungarian vehicles. He doesn't play war games, but he loved the idea that Hungarians were getting some love.
Definitely, especially with Mad Bob doing just about every Hungarian vehicle that is optional at the moment, and a few that aren't. And a wee tip for the Intelligence Corps at the moment is I managed to finish my Finnish 750 point for the Dwarf Tournament, which comprised of just infantry,
yeah,
lots and lots of infantry,
and a tea tree.
I also did my mobile terrain, which was a bunker and trench system with mortar pit. It's a wooden gun box, yep. Gun pill box, and two trench lines, plus 5-6 inch length of barbed wire.
Yeah, it does look cool. There's some photos on the Facebook page of the sort of tree trunk style bunker that you made. Mm-hmm. It does look rather cool. For me, what have I been doing? I finished off two more squads of Marine Corps, and I made a horrible, horrible mistake when I was building them. Well, not building them, painting them. I decided I've got a metal flamethrower model. Mm. But let's be honest, if a flamethrower turns up with a single unit on like a two-man team, it's going to get shot. So I thought, how can I squeeze it in a unit and give it some armour? US Army Engineering Squad. The ablative wooden squad. So I've got an 8-man squad there, all the rifles apart from the flamethrower. Sergeant's got a Thompson, really cheap squad. They look pretty cool, look identical to the rest of my Marines. But I did remember to write on the base what they were this time underneath. I also, as some of you saw, I talked about it last time, I was going to make a Marine Raider squad in full combat smocks, you know, mm-hmm. camo jumpsuits, the works. I built them up. There's like, I think it's two bars in the squad with 1911 45 pistols, it's three submachine guns, three shotguns. Basically, it's kitted up the yin yang. It was supposed to be going in with the M5 or the half track I've got. However, I kind of made a huge mistake. Those days where you get a buzz on for painting,
mm-hmm.
I sat and hammered them out in like 2 hours, then realised I'd paint them to match the rest of the Marines.
Ooh.
And I forgot about the combat camo, so they haven't got any, but they look cool. Picked up a light howitzer model from 60s to hit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's no Marine Corps version of it, so I picked up the airborne one. Chucked the figures away to a mate, Nick. I knocked up some plastic gunners to go with the howitzer. Little gun emplacement that works. I've half painted that. I also picked up the water-cooled 30 cal, the one that looks like the Vickers machine gun.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have it before. I'm never really going to use 330 cals, but I'll have the look of the model. What else did I pick up? Well, that was from my Marine Corps. I need to make some objectives. I'm kind of humming and hawing about this. I'm not sure what I'm going to do. My first thought was sandbags, gun boxes, barrels, wounded Marines, that kind of sort of thing. And then I thought, Flames of War Shermans.
Mm.
Damaged on little bases. And use them as the objective markers. But I mean, I'm not sure about that either.
Well, you're Mr. Tank.
I am Mr. Tank, and it would be very appropriate. But been thinking about that, what to do with that. I'll get some more work done on it. And the Marines are kind of I'm playing with them, but I'm working on two other things right now. The first is my secret German list, which is basically an Ardennes list.
The not-so-secret German
list. Not-so-secret German list. I've decided to redo my Germans that I started with, using what's left over, you know, stripping some of the models I've made, redo the tanks. So, going for Watch on the Rhine list, I think it is. So it's going to be six-man Volksgrenadier squads mm-hmm. with five assault rifles each and one Panzerfaust. A Stu 42, a sniper, a medium mortar, and some other stuff I've not quite decided yet. But I was sitting there thinking, I need MP44 assault rifles. Where am I going to get, you know, what, six squads? I need 30 of them. Plus, you know, obviously my command.
Your math is so bad, that's 36 minimum.
Yeah, that's the one. We'll say 40 just to round it up, because I can't count.
Well, it's 30 for the squads, but then you'll have the officers and various other people.
Got a master's in politics, I don't do counting, right? Not about counting. So I was looking around, and I'd seen the guys online, LRDG and all that, talking about the metal ones you can get. I think it's from Army Group North.
Well, you've got different options. I mean, you've got assault group.
Yeah, that was it. Sorry, assault groups, that was it. Or I could have bought 40 weapon sprues from Warlord, one each, because at the moment the plastic Panzergrenadier models aren't out, so I'm still waiting for them. But I looked at Dio Waffenkammer. Now, I picked up a Panzer II Luch from him a long time ago. And I was like, I wonder how much it would cost for two bags of 20 assault rifles. And it turned out, they're resin, it turned out to be cheaper to get them sent all the way from Canada than it was to buy the metal ones.
Well, even if you were to buy them from their suppliers in the UK?
Yeah.
Even if you're buying them in the UK?
Price to price.
No, I mean for the... Dio Waffenkammer also has...
They have a UK supplier, they do. Now, by the time I took into account the price of the two resin baggies, plus the shipping, it was actually the same money as getting it from the UK. And I kind of like buying from the guy because his stuff's awesome and he works in a giant shed and let's be honest, we all want to be like him.
Oh yeah.
So that's on the way. Was going to use my 156 scale, sorry, 148 scale Stug model that I've got from Bandai from the 70s. It's a little bit out of scale but it's only vehicle on the list so it would look cool. That was until Warlord tried to screw me over and released the lovely plastic Stug model. Which, probably going to have to buy it, because let's be honest, it can make a stew, it can make a stew. I'm going to have to get one. I'm also, so,
if you're going to buy one, you may as well buy the free.
No, no, that's what happened with the Shermans. Okay? I've still never used any of the Shermans I bought.
That's a lie.
Oh, the Tank Wars game. Yeah, the Tank Wars game. Yeah, yeah.
Where I maliciously broke one of the aerials.
Yes, you did. Tank had just been built, snapped the aerial off at the first time out of the case. You kind of trust these British players, what can I say? Just jealous of the US Army list.
It's because we don't get any pintle mount machine guns, that's what it is.
So I'm working on that list. It's going to look cool. That's my idea. I'm not going for a gamey list. Although I'm using Volksgrenadiers, they have obviously gone up in points costs recently. So they're not the awesome bomb they used to be.
Now they are correctly pointed within reason for Warlord.
So basically the army itself is made up of a mixture of late war Germans plus when it comes out the new Panzergrenadier plastic kit, because they're going to have different types of uniforms, you know, Ardennes, they brought guys from all over the place, and just to keep our favourite listener from Glasgow happy, who was complaining because I'd abandoned Panzer Lehr, I have done some research on the internets and on the multiple books that I now have on the Ardennes. And to keep him happy, I am running, I believe it's Pete,
mm-hmm.
it's Mr. Coleman, I think it is.
Yes. Yeah.
I am running Panzer Lehr Ardennes. Now, they had Stu 42s, they had Panther Z Pumas. They also, now that gets my vehicles covered, but then I've got these Volksgrenadiers. They're not Panzer Lehr Panzergrenadiers, they're Volksgrenadiers. How do I get them in there? Turns out, Panzer Lehr was supported by the 217th Volksgrenadier Division.
Yeah.
So there we go. It's going to look awesome, it's going to be thematic, and it's possibly almost historically accurate. Not that we care about that though.
Well, we do within reason.
Within reason, Mr. Bad Cop in your two flame tanks.
Yes. because you do the research good.
My other half has acquired me quite a few books on the Ardennes in the last couple of weeks. A couple of months now, actually, because I've been gone for quite a while. I'm old, I lose track of time. The main thing I've been working on is my war games table, because I'm in the process of saving money to buy my own place to live. Because I am getting, if I'm being honest, I'm getting sick, fed up, and getting thrown out of other women's houses when it ends. So I've decided I'm going to get my own place to live.
Don't lie, you're just jealous of Nick.
Yeah, I'm jealous of Nick, yeah. If you want to look, see Nick's gaming space, Terrain for Cakes blog, have a look at it. He's got a war games table that we'd all kill for. In his own war games room. I'll stick a link in the notes here about his page there. So, decided, get my own place, I need a war gaming table. I have started the war games table about 14 times.
Mm-hmm.
I think the first time was when Bonner was a kid, because he is ridiculously young.
Birthday next week.
Birthday next week, yeah. How old are you going to be?
30.
Oh dear God, you are 5 years younger than me.
Yep.
I never actually finished them. They always got abandoned.
You did finish two for this. Was it three for the sixes to hit?
Two for the shop. I did the Bocage display board.
Mm-hmm.
And I did the Malifaux steampunky table.
Yes.
Or also made for Dead Man's Hand, which by the way is a good cowboy game if you like cowboys. But that's way off topic.
Various other ones.
Yes. So I've decided this time I'm going to build a table. So, Stalingrad, let's be honest, you're talking World War II, there are three sort of stick-out tables to fight on, isn't there?
Hmm.
You got D-Day, D-Day Landings, awesome-looking table, could be brilliant, but it's a little bit too specific. You know, you're going to have your cliffs at one side of the board, blah, 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 you can only ever have the cliffs there, it's always going to interfere with the game. Bocage, everyone's doing Bocage.
Hmm. Well, that's what Nick's got, and that's what you did for the
Nick's got one, there's one here, Edmilia Gamers have got two awesome Bocage sets made, and I was like, okay then, let's go for a city fight. And we're going to go for Stalingrad. So
one of your friends had the exact same thought as you at the
same
time. He did,
Alex did, but mine looks better.
Alex has got more progression on it.
Oh no.
But
No. Mm. There's been leaps and bounds in the last couple of weeks.
Oh, but no pictures.
No pictures yet.
Shame on you.
Yeah, I've been kind of busy. So basic plan, 6x4 table, because let's be honest, we all play in 6x4s. It's split into six tiles of 2 foot by 2 foot.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's MDF topper with a little 2x1 MDF pine frame under it. So think like an art canvas, basically.
Yeah.
The idea being is that you can take the six tiles and switch them in any way you want to make a table. So they've got roads on them. And the roads are always bang on the centre line, so no matter which way you flip it, you can connect a road to another road. So five tiles of roads and buildings.
Mm-hmm.
The sixth tile is a Stalingrad train yard.
Ah.
Which, that's going to take a little bit longer to do. I'm going for the first four tiles to be done for August, because we've got a war game show for 68 to go to, and the table's coming to it. I promise. I promise again. It's probably not going to, but we're going to go with it. So, what have I got? So I've got four 2x2 tiles.
Mm-hmm.
They're fully built. I picked up some MDF laser cut roads from War Games tournaments on eBay. And I got them for about 20 quid. They've got manhole covers, they've got gratings, they've got little sidewalk pavement bits. And I was like, right, okay. I picked up some very basic, and I mean completely basic, buildings from them. I've got 26 of them. So I've got my buildings, I've got my roads. Still kind of bare. Mm. So, some Pegasus Hobby Craters, little plastic ones. I got them with eBay for about £10. So I'm like, right, need to do some damage. Because obviously, we've all seen Stalingrad
in
the TV. You've seen the state of the place. There's not enough Febreze in the world to clean that up. Or like Molly Maid services or anything like that. So,
Or
Dell, yeah. I laid out the roads and I thought, right, I'm going to put bomb craters in the roads. So, seemed like a really good idea, right? And if you look at the pictures, it does look really cool. But oh my God, that was a nightmare to do. I had to draw around the crater edge to put them into the road.
Mm-hmm.
Only discover I've lost my jigsaw.
Oh.
When I say lost it, I must have packed it up when I moved out of the last place. So I don't know where it is. So Stanley knife, cutting little curves into MDF. Now fair enough, it's only 3mm MDF, but it's a pain.
Yeah, I've been doing that for my board as well, so I know exactly where you're coming from.
So I've got the craters glued down. As you can see in the pictures, they're on the Facebook page, I think, and they're definitely on the 60s Tech forums. Which, by the way, if you want to have a look at the forums, it's where all the stuff's kept. So it's 60shit.com, and then look for the thread in the table building section, which is called the Bosses City. Because I've even managed to get a Bob Hoskins picture into my Stalingrad build. So yeah, craters are glued down. Kenny runs 60shit. He gave me a bag of stuff.
Loose bits.
Yeah. Now, this loose bits bag was actually incredible. It was smashed up military kits. So there's bikes, there's tanks, there's lampposts. Yeah, you name it, it's in this thing. So that's my rubble.
We've also had interest from someone who wants to buy
they want to buy my box. They're not getting my box. I need that box.
But they did think that Sixth Step decided that they were going to sell these boxes of bits.
Yes, yes.
Which we might look into in the future, but at the moment...
Not yet. So they're in the craters, they're on the side of the roads, and I was like, right, I've got a bomb site, basically. There's going to be smashed up concrete walls. So, trip to my local pound shop, because this table's been built with supplies from shops that for everything costs a pound.
If 60shit didn't exist, that's where you'd live.
Yes, pretty much, pretty much. I'm a big fan of the pound shop, so I went in, 7 tubs of superglue. It's cheap superglue, but it's quite a lot in it, it's a quid. And I was like, how can I make smashed up rubble? And I was like, when I was a kid, I made a 40k building that I used ready-mixed plaster or polyfiller to cover the walls. And I was like, that looks like concrete when it dries. So got myself a 1 pound baking tray, 6 tubs of 1 pound polyfiller, dump a tub in the tray, spread it out, leave it dry for 2 days, drop the tray on the floor, smashed up concrete.
And this was your inspirational moment.
This was my inspirational moment, although I did mess it up, unfortunately. I should have mixed in black paint to the polyfiller so that when it cracks it looks black. However, it's white. I'm not too fussed about that. So that's on. There's cat litter down, there's sand down, it's proper rubble strewn. So I'm sitting at the point now where 4 tiles are done with the craters, are done with the rubble, are done with the detritus of war. Next stage is for me to glue down some smashed up tank traps. Now, during this podcast, we might abandon you for a little while because the Warlord Order is due in today. My tank traps and my Ostfront book are in that. I want the tank traps because this is holding up production right now. So once that goes down, bought a tub of... What colour is it? A really bad beige textured masonry paint that was in the local DIY store for £4 because the lid was cracked. It's the most hideous colour you can ever imagine. It looks like someone's basically melted chocolate and mixed it into brown paint. It's just horrible looking. But it's textured. So that's going to go on the boards. Then I glue in the gratings. And out comes the airbrush at that point. Airbrush the whole thing. Get the base plates done. But at the same time, I've bought some textured spray paint for the buildings. Which I nicked Alex at local club Dwarf gave me the idea for it. I unfortunately had to buy a new pair of shoes because I managed to texture spray my shoes at the same time. Stupid wind in the back garden.
Yeah.
But that's basically, Stalingrad has taken up all of my time right now. It looks cool.
There's one bit you also forgot.
What's that?
The skirting boards.
Oh yes, yes. Had a little chat on the Warlord forums and friend Nick from Terrain for Cakes, he makes some awesome terrain. He built some Martian habs for a well-known science fiction game about 4 or 5 years ago. And the icing on the cake for these models was that the buildings had skirting boards inside them and it really made them look good. So I glued on skirting boards onto 26 buildings free of coffee stirrers. And then, of course, Warlord Forums being what they are, one of the nice guys there is like, you know you can get Doll's House toilets at the right scale. And I was like, no, actually I could put in a smashed up bathtub or something like that. Would look pretty cool. This then progressed to explain to me where I can get 28mm samples of wallpaper that I could print out and glue onto the walls. Then next thing you know, I was looking at curtains and cushions and soft furnishings.
And pictures.
So basically, skirting boards is where the buck stops. I ain't putting in curtains and cushions.
Yeah, he's sad.
Sad. I'm just not dedicated enough. That's what's wrong. So yeah, if you want to see the pictures, they're on the Facebook. If you're not on our Facebook page, it means Mr. Bonner's not got to you yet. He'll find you though. Alternatively, like I said, 60tech.com, terrain, tables and scenery section, look for the Bosses City. There's some nice updates there, more to come when these tank traps show up. But I think that that pretty much rounds up our logistics core, wouldn't you say?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And because of the Bosses City, it did run longer than expected.
Hey, it's the Bosses City. You got to like it. Also, question for everybody, if you listen to this, you can answer on the Facebook page if you want. What do you reckon? Winter, summer, or autumn Stalingrad? Because obviously the battle raged across three seasons, basically. Now, I know everybody does winter Stalingrad.
Mm.
It'd fit with my Ardennes Germans.
It would, but would the Ardennes Germans fit with the Stalingrad?
Well, they're late war winter camo Germans, so yeah, they would fit with our Stalingrad, but I don't know. I could buck the trend and do summer Stalingrad, or autumn as it were.
The only thing about the summer, you might have to do some rotting fruit in a cart.
Oh, don't worry, because a very good friend Kenny from 60tech got a little free sample from Dust Warfare, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
There's some little 28mm resin cows and sheep, and he's like, here, you need to put these in Stalingrad. So I'm possibly converting up some dead cows, but I don't know how I'm going to do it. I know Warlord make dead cows,
mm-hmm.
I almost bought them, but I don't think I can quite shoehorn that into a city fight table.
We'll see.
So yeah, so that is, anything else for logistics, or is that us?
No, that's us, apart from obviously heads up of what we're planning to do over the next couple of months for Logistics Corps. Myself is actually painting the rest of my fins.
Rest of your fins. I might finish doing this British commission thing to build them. Thankfully, Professor James, he's in no real rush to get them, which I'm loving.
I did offer multiple times.
I know you have. I attempted to take him up on it, but I can't afford Bonner's prices. The Ardennes Germans are going to get worked on. They're slow build. They're going to be a really slow build. Especially since I still don't know the release date for the plastic Panzer Gardier models yet.
I'll chase my contact up about that.
I also need to find the Stuke model I've got, because when I packed up my stuff to move out, I kind of lost half my tanks.
Mm-hmm.
I also should probably finish painting the 7 Marine Corps vehicles I've got to paint.
Yes, the, what, 6 Sherburns?
Yeah. Chaffee, LV, Buffalo, Landon Craft.
One thing I would suggest is, instead of, I know you've already got the half track for your US
engineers,
What about the Warlord's new M8 scout car? It's faster and can carry the whole squad in it.
Funny you should say that.
Mm-hmm.
I might have ordered one of them. Maybe.
Well, if you're not taking it, I'll take it, because that was what I was running with my British, and I played it wrong because I was using a half track model.
Everyone will love this. So, you've seen my painted Hellcat model.
Yes.
I think I've done a really good job on it. The scheme is just the right way I want it.
Mm-hmm.
So that was 4 months ago I painted that.
You've not kept a note of what you did.
Yeah, I didn't write down how I painted it.
And you didn't put it on your blog.
No, I didn't.
And you didn't put it on the 60tech
forums.
No, I didn't. And you didn't put it on the Facebook page.
No, I didn't write a post-it note either.
No, you didn't do anything.
So I think I've got it sussed. I think it was a brown wash, a black wash, a tidy up, black wash. I got to the first black wash with the Chaffee. I think it's looking on the right lines, but I'm not totally sure yet.
So you're testing on the Chaffee?
I'm testing the Chaffee.
Right.
Because I can always bodge it again.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so that's, is that a Lewis's Corps over?
Yes.
Yes. See, we can talk when the other two aren't here. It's not all about that guy.
Or the other guy.
Or the other guy who can paint really well. And faster than we can.
Yes.
Yeah.
The only thing I've got on those pair is the fact I can actually build and paint faster, but not to their standard.
One thing we should probably say is we normally have a little hobby prize.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what have I done? I've painted 16 models, glued together about 20, and I've started building the Wargames table. Mr. Bonner, on the other hand, has
painted 40,
yeah,
built 6 vehicles, built 136 infantry models for commission.
So, it's sad to say this, but Mr. Bonner wins the hobby prize again.
And I'm the second person to get 2 in a row.
You are the second person to get 2 in a row. However, nobody will ever beat me. I won it with a truck.
You won it with laziness. You, no. You should have got it just for building that model.
I won it with a truck because the other two hadn't got their models yet. Mm-hmm. Warden wasn't there. I've done everything the month before.
Yes, I bought, built and painted everything that I owned, which was comprised of a basically 500-point commando army in the first month in some weird fit of I must get this painted and built, and still pwned you in the first couple of games.
You did. There are some, actually, if you look at the really old photos on the Facebook page, there's the photos of me and Bonner's first game, which are hysterical. God, we've got a long way since then.
Oh, yes.
I've gone downhill, Bonner's gone uphill.
I've got a mountain of plastic and lead behind me that can contribute.
And now the latest briefing from the Intelligence Corps.
And that's us back, and we're into the Intelligence Corps now. So, this is basically games we've played. So, what are we talking about, Mr. Bonner?
We're talking about the second dwarf Operation Blockbuster that we both managed to get to, and wrangle in a couple of our other locals as well.
Yeah, so again, Homeguard Radio field trip across to Dunfermline, which I believe one of the gentlemen from the bar, his ancestors come from there. So myself and Bonner went across in the car. We took our friendly, crazy, sassy Canadian Shane with us. We will put some pictures of Shane's models up on the Facebook because they are quite a special British Army.
Oh, yes.
What's special about them?
Well, they're, rather than being a British Army, they're a Commonwealth of Britain.
Yes, we'll call them a Commonwealth force.
And they're Canadian-based because you're Canadian.
Yep, and the Canadians obviously won the war, according to Shane.
And they also have lovely ornaments for their tanks. Mm.
The entire army was painted up by a 66th Commission painter. It is entirely painted as Royal Canadian Mounted Police. So red jackets, black trousers, yellow stripes. And he has a Cromwell.
He does.
And what's special about the Cromwell?
It's a moose.
Yes, it has a moose head glued onto the front of it.
And its name is Bowwinkle.
Yes, it is bright red with a Canadian maple leaf on the back of it. It is about as far from historically accurate as you can get. But, let's be honest, it's awesome. It is rather a special looking tank. So, one thing I should probably point out, Shane had played one game before we went to the tournament.
He'd done three demos with me, played one game against me, which was more of a demo than it was a game. And then he went to the tournament.
So, we're in the car, driving from Edinburgh to Fairmont. It's only about a 30-minute trip.
Well, the trip starts well before that.
Oh, yes. Well, it does, yes. But on the way there in the car, me and Bonner are sitting in the front. I'm driving. Sassy boy's in the back here going, so where do I find these missions in the rulebook then? What are the missions for bolt action?
How do I end direct fire?
And I'm sitting there going, oh, God, this is not going to end well. So he's sitting in the back of the car, trying to read through this rule book, trying to figure out what on earth they've got to do in missions. And obviously, he doesn't actually know the rules. But the boy's got so much enthusiasm.
Oh, yes.
We got there and he was, what was it? He was pumped, he said.
Oh, yeah, he was pumped. He wanted to go all the way around to Asda just so he could see if he could get in a fight with some locals. And
the running joke was, he was like, he was going to go out to buy something and he'd get in trouble. And he was like, yeah, I'll just fight them. And my joke was, yeah, but you're Canadian, you'd have to ask the Americans if it's okay first. Which he quite liked. But yeah, he had a good time. So, I'm going to start off with my three games. Now, this was good because this time, none of the Home Guard guys played each other.
Yes.
Which was different. So my first game was against Alec. Now, Alex, we spoke with him before. He had the Russian list that we had to help set up for him because we didn't know which units were with which. This time, the game kicked off to an interesting start. First game, I'm on table number 3, I think it was. Yeah, I think it was.
Yes, yeah, table was on 3. Four.
You were on 4, I was on 3. So I get my army out, US Marine Corps, 1,000 points. Didn't take the Air Observer this time because I can't trust Sky Wizard, he's too unreliable.
That's baloney. He is very reliable.
Just not for me. So, Alex gets out his Gurkha Chindit list. Now, none of us had played against Gurkhas or Chindits at this point in time. We'd read the rules for them and they looked bad on paper. So, we're setting up and then Alex realised he can't find his glasses. So, 20 minutes later, he finds his glasses so he can actually play. Mm-hmm. And then the game started off all right. My Marine Corps held themselves. A couple of squads came down the table against me. I ventilated them a little bit. Unfortunately, then the Gurkhas and the Chindit started to outflank. Mm-hmm. And then it went horribly, horribly wrong. Because what I thought was bad on paper was probably tantamount to abuse. His guys running, his Gurkhas running in combat with me. I've got tough fighter. I get plus one attacks. Okay, I can handle that. The Marine Corps, they've got lots of guns. He's like, yeah. I've also got scary blighters, so you're halving your attack rolls. Mm-hmm. I didn't have enough fire from my Marine Corps fire teams, which are really heavily armed,
yes,
to take out enough Gurkhas to stop them getting into combat with me. And he chewed through my entire army. I got tabled.
You did.
It was horrific. So, game one, we were playing point defence. I love point defence. My army is designed for point defence. My hope was I could last long enough to keep those three objectives. Didn't happen. Mm-hmm. What did I learn from the game? I need some Chindits and Gurkhas in my Marine Corps list, is what I learned. I think everyone who played against him or saw his army has gone away and bought a Gurkha list.
No.
No, not you.
No, not me.
No, you've got Finns, you don't count. So no. What was your game one?
My game one was against Finlay in his US Marine Corps based list.
Yep, hoo-ha.
He didn't outflank, so he came all the way down the field traipsing through hard cover because I was on the Stalingrad board that Alex had built.
The imposter Stalingrad board.
The imposter, yes. Which comprised of the board, the buildings, and no other cover whatsoever.
Yeah. So you had the fire lane problem with the roads, basically.
I didn't.
No, you didn't, but yeah.
I basically set up in buildings and then with the finish rule of over what going on ambush,
yep,
and hitting on fives at long range while in hard cover is, or was it? Yes, it was fives. I just started putting pins and killing off these regular and vet marines. One thing he did outflank was his flame team, which came on, killed a unit, and then ran out of fuel and ran away.
Right, right.
Because of being point defence, I managed to, being the smaller of the boards, the objectives were slightly closer, mm-hmm, due to that, but I managed to hold out for the win just by refusing to engage in combat whatsoever, even though I had the advantage with my finish.
So, I got tabled. Mm-hmm. What happened to you? You win?
I got a max attrition win, which is 20 points for killing, right, more than 50%. Right.
So yeah, you obliterated him, basically.
Yes.
So, at that point, we dropped on to game... It was lunch, actually, wasn't it?
It was lunch.
It was lunch. And the lunch this time was awesome lentil soup, mm-hmm, which it was a little bit chilly in the Fairland that day, mm, and some tasty sandwiches as well, yeah, wasn't it?
A mix of sandwiches.
Yes.
Bread, butter.
Because let's be honest, we're war gamers. We're all about the food at tournaments.
Oh yeah. And so, then we had Shane, who decided, our Canadian friend, decided that he had to have at least two or three cups of this soup because it was amazing.
Yes.
And stole my napkin, which I was going to kill him for.
And then got caught jumping the queue, the food line, twice. Basically, if anyone's listening, you've ever seen a soup kitchen on TV? Mm-hmm. Pretty much looked a little bit like that. It was quite funny. So, running into game two, I'm up against the Germans. I'm thinking I'm alright because I know exactly what's in the German list. I know everything does. I'm sorried. We're playing on Brian Forrester from Dwarf. Mm-hmm. He's the leader of the club. He's got two new Pacific tables.
Yes.
They're stunning. You're talking lots of foliage, rivers, Japanese jungle huts, the works. So I set up on the side of the board with a river on it, unfortunately. And I was playing against, I think it was Bill.
Yes.
Who is potentially the most enthusiastic player I've ever met in my entire life. And is brilliant at converting stuff. His home build buildings are stunning. So, the only thing that made this game good was playing ball action was good. Mm-hmm. And Bill's a great guy. It went so badly wrong. We rolled off for sides. He got the sides of the buildings. First turn, his Germans run into three of the buildings, which are only about 8 inches from the river. I have to go through the river to get to him. It was a turkey shoot.
You didn't even have your LV.
No, I didn't have any transports at all. I was 100% infantry. I had to advance against veteran German Fallschirmjäger tied up inside buildings. It was horrible.
I have to admit a guilty pleasure here, because just before Craig had set up on the table, I actually spoke to Bill before the game.
Did you set me up?
Potentially, yes. I did recommend that he take the buildings as quickly as possible and then use the buildings as a jumping point. So, well done, Bill.
There's no Home Guard radio spirit here, is there?
Ali abandoned you last time.
Oh yeah, he did, but to be honest, I abandoned myself last time. Oh. So game two, it was max attrition, which was probably the worst mission to play on this table. Yeah, there's nothing I learned from that apart from the fact the buildings are horrendous. One thing was the table looked awesome.
Oh yes.
Brian had worked himself stupid for a couple of weeks finishing those two boards off. Much appreciated. So, Bonner, game two.
My game two was against the Gurkhas list that Alex ran.
Yep.
And where everybody else knew what Gurkhas did and didn't appreciate actually how good they can be, I knew full well what they were going to do when they got to where they wanted to be. So, I'm on the Stalingrad.
Again?
Phony board again. And
Fakergrad.
Because being Mac, it was the Max attrition.
It was, yeah.
He outflanked half of his force. Half up one flank, half up the other, and then the rest traipsing all across the board. So I did what I did last game. Went on ambush.
Started down.
Putting pins on the units as came across the board. And set up for ambush for turn three. Yeah, as soon as he came on, I started plinking away at him. And I still managed to win out of it.
Yeah.
He got into combat and he did wipe the unit when he got into combat. But when Finns are on ambush, they let you to get within a 1 inch of you and then hit you on a 1+. Which has been FEQ'd to 2+ now. Because they didn't figure the Finns into the original arm.
That's a good point.
But now they've got it, it's 2+ to hit. So I basically put on ambush when he charged in, killed a few of them. And because of Scary Blighter, I had Tough Fighter.
Yeah.
So when I outnumbered his units, I was rolling base attacks of one each, but I was regular, he was veteran.
Yeah. Yeah. So, second game, won.
I won again.
So in the game two, Bonner's on two wins, and I won two losses again, so I'm following historical here because of what happened last time. So, we run into game three, last game of the day. Hold until relieved. So that's the centre objective one, hold it, blah, blah, blah. So up against a German player, and honestly, can't remember the guy's name. He's actually a player at our local club, I've only played him a couple of times. He's got a good all-round mix of Germans, some tasty little things in there. He deploys his unit in the building, which is about 4 inches off the centre line to the right-hand side of the board. I then deploy my entire Marine Corps force in a crescent going from all right all the way up to the left. And I managed to pull off a flank bait move. I moved one of my units straight at him from the left flank. He redirected his entire army to cope with them, while my other units moved up the left flank and countered and took them. And then, second last turn of the game, the one squad that's hidden in the bushes, 6 inches from the ruin with the objective in it, bang, 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 take out half the squad. Last turn of the game, he realises what's happening, tries to redeploy what's left. There's no way he can make it. These guys, there's not even a line of sight on these guys because of the hills and the ravines. Marine Corps squad runs into the ruins, beats up what's left of the Germans, only three of them objective. We go for last turn.
Bet you felt like a big man going picking up three Germans.
Yes, yes, I mean, really good. Last turn, roll for last turn, I run the objective, roll the game ends. I won the game on objective, but the attrition points, I lost a lot of my stuff. I just sacrificed almost my entire army to keep him occupied.
It's all about the missions.
It was all about the missions. And I didn't play for a draw, I was going for a win. So, another thing I should say is, at this point, I'm on the bottom table again. The same table as at last time. So I'm thinking, I'm in last place. I'm going to get the wooden spoon.
No.
No, I didn't get the wooden spoon. I end up coming 8th or 9th out of about 20 players.
There was 22.
22. Well, not bad. Mr. Bonner's last game.
My last game was against Tom and his Germans. Mass assault rifle veterans. And a Flampanzer wagon.
Is that the half-track?
The half-track. Yep. So, I'm a defender on the Stalingrad board.
Yay! So you didn't move tables all day. You were always on table four.
Table four all day.
Yeah.
So what I did was I set my two infantry units up, which was my first mistake. I should have gave away one of my weapons teams rather than one of my infantry squads because I felt it later. But what I did do was put all the available units that I had left in outflank because I took the objective from the centre line and moved it 12 inches right across to the right hand side of the board. So outflank, I could run onto objective on the last turn if need be.
That's possibly pretty dirty.
It was dirty.
I'm going to have to remember that.
Yes. Being that we were playing on 4 foot instead of 6 foot boards, that's why it was more dirty than if we were playing on another one.
You know, I've never actually outflanked.
Never?
No. I should probably read that part of the rule book.
Yeah. Consider that it's right below the reserves, which you've run quite well before.
Reserves, they're marines. I just roll a dice and hope I don't get a 10.
True. Yeah, that's...
I don't need to read the rules.
So he deployed all of his infantry and then advanced on the objective. I got a couple of pins on one of the units, the other unit lost half it and vacated the premises very quickly. I then brought on my support elements, which were my medium mortar and light howitzer.
Okay.
With a view straight down one of the roads.
Nice.
So anything coming across that, or even thinking of going at the line of sight, I was just going to pump full HE.
So how did you find the light mortar? Because we've talked about that before.
Medium mortar.
Medium mortar.
Medium mortar I've ran with my British since day one.
Yeah, you're the only one that managed to make it work.
Yes, because if you fire enough shots, it's going to work.
Yeah, I'm thinking I might have to try that again at some point. My Germans might have a mortar in.
Because I took a spotter this time from a mortar.
Yeah. I'm starting to think the spotter's the way to go.
Because you can basically hide your mortar somewhere safe.
Well, I was thinking it was converting up a Marine Corps guy carrying a giant telescope.
Huh.
With a pirate hat.
Right.
Use him as a spotter.
Yeah.
Pretty sure there was at least one Marine Corps guy who wore a pirate hat at some point in time.
You got to research that, see if there's any peg leg and patches.
Peg leg? That could be good. Actually, I could make a medic with a peg leg.
Yeah.
But yeah, realm of fancy there. So.
Very. So turns go up, I start putting some HE down, keep my reserve on, off until I need it. And then I get split reserves. Being that I'm out flanking, I ignore the penalty. Both my base units, the tough fighters, come on and start shooting into his units. And then his Flampanzer wagon come on. Kill about 8 guys, 9 guys out of both squads. But they hold.
Okay.
They don't disappear.
They are Germans.
No, they're Finnish.
Oh, sorry.
Yes.
Playing his?
No.
Okay.
No, he flames me. Right. I don't run away. Okay. So in the next turn, I bring on my Capaccio. Ventilate a squad with
there's guys on skis.
No, it's the master outflankers.
That's the ones, yeah.
They come on and basically kill half an 8-man unit of veterans.
Okay, that's not bad.
SMGs who run away.
Oh, that's bad.
My units that are on the board charge in, tough fighter in the open, kill 2 more squads between them. My anti tank rifle comes on outflank behind the Flampanzer wagon, hits. Yes.
It's not bad.
Doesn't do any damage.
That's not bad.
And then officer comes on and ventilates his medic.
Ah, nice. So no Hague rules there then for shooting medics?
No. Well, he opened fire first. No.
That's actually what I should say for my game.
Mm-hmm.
My medic was John Woo, right? This medic was jumping out of cover, blamming folk with pistols and jumping back in again. My medic was awesome. I don't adhere with this thing either.
Following turn, last turn, before we got to it, I've got my sniper on ambush on the far flank because he was there to basically pull any squads across to
yeah.
them, which I'm glad he did for one turn, delaying them. First dice out of the bag, anti-tank rifle, rear shot, misses.
Oh dear.
Twos to hit, rolls a one to hit.
That sounds like me.
Poo. What I should have done was take a Panzerfaust to it rather than an anti-tank rifle.
Yeah, I quite like the anti-tank rifles though.
Yeah.
There's just something about them I like.
But that's the unit I should have deployed with my original two units.
Fair point.
Just to try and hold the objective, force them further away from the objective in the first turn. So he flames two squads, machine guns another one. Those are removed. I have now one squad that can make the objective.
Just one?
Just one.
Okay.
He has a medic. No, he has his officer and another unit that can make it. He advances his unit outside his six.
Right.
Ain't getting it. He advances his medic onto the objective.
Right.
I killed his, not his attendant, but I didn't kill the guy. So he's there on the objective, and I'm like, right, mortar, howitzer, trying to kill this one medic. And he's like, right, fire directly. Oh, I need sevens. Howitzer, fire indirectly at his medic. Miss, right. Only thing I can do is use the squad here to go up and get him. Fail. They basically foobar and run away.
Okay.
Second time, I was like, oh, right, this is going horribly wrong. Next thing, shoot his medic, kill his medic.
Okay.
Perfect, there's nobody on the objective. He's got his officer to run onto the objective. Oh dear. Going for it, his officer runs past an open window. The sniper just pans up. Long range.
Yeah.
Small team.
Yeah.
Hard cover, which is ignored by the sniper,
yeah.
Get plus one, and then plus one for being a Finnish sniper on ambush.
Oh god, so you're hitting them on...
Threes.
Did you hit?
I hit him.
Yay!
He's on veteran.
Right.
I roll a six to wound him.
Right, okay.
And yes, his brains are splattered over the wall.
So that was last minute charge brought down by sniper.
Yes.
It's very Hollywood.
He still wins because he's got a guy within 6 inches, but the Hollywood of the officer moving round the gun down someone else, I just went poof. He wins. We've wiped out near enough all of our forces getting to where we're going.
I've noticed that's becoming more of a theme recently with the games we're playing in. They're becoming more bloody. We're taking more chances.
Yes.
Which is good. People have stopped playing
conservative.
Yes. So what was your result for the tournament? Where did you place?
I came fourth overall.
Congratulations.
I lost out to Tom, who had played in the last game.
Yeah.
And then it was, first was...
an American guy with the Jeep list.
Chris
with Jeep list. Nice and guy, very nice guy.
Second place was Brunton.
James Brunton, his first Bolt Action tournament from our club.
And he didn't even realise he was second.
No, that was the good thing. We didn't know our placings until the very last moment.
Yes.
So you picked up... what did you pick up? Two wins and a loss. I got two losses and a win. Mm. I think it was about eighth. I didn't win Best American because Best American went to the first place spot.
I got Best non-Axis British Main Forces.
Yeah, so you got Best Minor Power for the Allies.
Axis
Power, sorry, if you're forgetting the Finns are even.
But we only did one Minor Nations trophy this year.
Not one for Alex, yeah, you're fine. I picked up second place in the painting because apparently my army looked awesome. I was quite proud of that. So the Edinburgh guys, make sure Home Guard Radio and Edinburgh League of Gamers went across Dunfermline. We took second spot.
Mm-hmm.
We took
fourth.
We took eighth. Second best painting. We took best Russian.
Yes.
We took best minor allied power.
Best
minor power, sorry.
Yeah.
I think we took best British as well.
Yes.
Brunton took best British. So basically, we all went across to Dunfermline and took all our prizes again.
With exception to the American Craig failing again.
Hey,
we're not having our German players.
Yeah, no German players this time. They were all otherwise occupied. One of them was getting ready for a wedding.
Yeah,
again. She's planning a wedding. And then, of course, Ali. You know, Ali's abandoned us. He's moved to Aberdeen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is really far north of Scotland. He'll be back one day. We're essentially sitting in the new recording studio.
Yes.
But we're still recording on the phone because we haven't got the internet cable run downstairs yet. So the plan was, Ali and them will Skype in the future, but at the moment, we've got a computer next to us, our microphone doesn't work, so we're slumming it again. Now, a couple of other things that we went up to recently. First was, 2 weekends back, we had Edinburgh University's a role-playing and gaming convention up at Edinburgh University there called yes. Compulsion. And Sixes the Hit got invited to go along and run some demo war games. It's not a war game show. There's always a little touch of it. So myself and Mr. Bonner turned up.
Mm-hmm. And Mr. Kingfig and himself.
Mr. Kingfig Kenny, yep. Also known as Sophistichav. Mm-hmm. We did demos for Kings of War for Mantic, Dead Zone, Dreadball, Mars Attacks, War Machine Hordes.
Yep.
I ran a bolt action demo. We also, using Flames of War vehicles, so 15mm vehicles on a 6x4, we ran Battle of Kursk using bolt action rules.
That looked epic.
It was. Now, originally we were going to run a lot of tanks and we were going to run them in platoons of 3.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, one dice for 3. We decided, let's not do that. Let's do a tank for a dice.
Yes. So, we the original raw rules.
Yeah. You've got about 30 T-34s on one side.
Yeah.
A unit of, well, not a unit, but you've got 4 KV-1s
mm-hmm.
versus about 20 Panzer IVs and 3 Panthers. We did a lot of games of it. The full run through took about an hour. Stupidly good fun. Because
mm-hmm.
we're playing down the length of a 6x4. So the Panther's big gun comes in at its own in this length. The game I played, it was myself on one side with Kingfig on the other.
Mm-hmm.
First turn, Panthers plinked 3 KV-1s right off the board. We knew it was going to happen in the end, let's be honest.
Yeah.
You know the Germans are going to get beat. It's all a case of how long they can hold. I think we made it to be 8 turns before the Germans finally got overwhelmed. Stupidly good fun. So if you want to play a massive tank game and you've got Flames of War stuff, chuck some down because it's so simple.
We used all the standard ranges as
yeah,
well.
Yeah.
So all the standard ranges because the ranges work at those scale
yeah,
attacks as well.
Yeah. Just a good fun game. Now the other thing is we had a visitor a few months ago.
Mm-hmm.
A gentleman from Down Order Podcast. With his Finnish army.
That was David Hunter.
Yes, Mr. Hunter came up to Edinburgh because I believe he's doing some work up here for a little while.
Yes, he's visiting.
So, obviously, Down Order's been out a few times. They mentioned Mr. Bonner because, you know...
Apparently, I do tactics well.
Yeah, apparently you do tactics well. So, was it Finn on Finn?
No, I decided to take my British because I didn't think Finn on Finn would be as interesting as the British.
I will say his Finnish army that he brought along looks lovely.
Mm-hmm.
Guy knows his game. What was your result out of that game?
Oh, he humped me.
He humped you. He did, yeah. That was mentioned on the show.
Mm-hmm.
I played him the week afterwards. And I didn't get humped.
Ooh.
I didn't get humped. It was bloody,
mm-hmm.
but I got a draw. The super special outflanking guys and the guys with the skis.
Mm-hmm. That is one in the same.
I knew they were going to outflank. Because let's be honest, if you don't outflank them, you're doing it wrong.
I've got tactics. So
you've got tactics. I tried to figure out how exactly I can counter this.
Mm.
And this is where I found that I've just lied to you. I have outflanked.
No, you've not.
Reserves.
You reserved.
I reserved. I didn't lie. I brought in reserves.
Mm-hmm.
I took my engineering unit with a flamethrower, kept in reserves. His gazpacho soup guys come on. And then I bring my guys on behind him and open up with the flamethrower and the rifles and take out most of the squad.
Mm-hmm.
It came down to the end. We had one, I think it was a 3-objective one. Yeah, we were playing a 3-objective one. We
point defence.
We had one each, and the one in the middle was pretty much up for grabs. I'd had it, but I'd lost my squad that were on it. So his officer goes in to get it. We're in the last turn of the game. My officer shoots him and misses. Sorry, no. Combat, sorry.
Mm-hmm.
He fires at me and misses. Or he got a hit, but he didn't kill. My two-man officer squad run in. He rolls his dice. He gets a 5. I lose my nugget that's looking after mm-hmm. the officer. I roll. We're hitting at the same time.
Yeah.
I was hitting first, but... No, it was in cover. Hitting the same
yes.
time. Sorry, at the same time. So he kills one guy. I roll my 4 dice. I get a 5. Achilles officer, because he's a single unit at this point, one guy unit at this point in time. I managed to sneak the objective of the last turn, and I didn't get beat. I got a draw. And then we had about an hour and a half's worth of chat after that.
Yes.
About different things about, you know, the new rules pack from Bull Action Radio, vehicle flamethrowers. We both have interesting opinions of them. I don't mind them too much. Although that's probably because I'm so used to getting brown beaten by Ali about them, you know, brown beaten.
You felt the burn.
I felt the burn many times. It was crispy. Then we also talked about the possibility of me and Mr. Bonner and the Home Guard guys going down to play in an event down south. Now, I believe it was the Welsh Open we got invited to. Now, being honest with you, I just changed jobs, kind of all up in the air just now. We want to come down one time, but we need to get it figured out. Home Guard are going to make a little road trip sometime this year. Once we get it figured out, we're going to pop down to Warlord and say hello. Now, the downside is we're planning for May. I'm in Berlin the first 2 weeks in May for a little holiday. Mr. Andy Meekham is tied up with the Beltane Fire Festival during that period, so he's kind of AWOL. Ali, that guy can come down whenever, which is fine. Mr. Warden, let's be honest, up to his neck in nappies and baby poo. And Mr. Bonner.
First week of June is my second baby June.
Yes, so trying to arrange this with people having babies and people going on holiday and people going to fire festivals is proven to be somewhat difficult.
And Mr. Kingfig.
Yeah, Mr. Kenny is going to come down with us from 6-8 because he's got a little chat with the guys at Warlord coming up. But yeah, we are looking forward to this trip and we are going to sort this out. What we're really hoping is that we can get down a week when the Perrys are in, because Mr. Andy Meekham, he'll tell you this himself, he got into wargaming after seeing some Perry models about 25 years ago, give or take. He's a little bit older than we are. And he just, yeah, he has so much respect for the Perrys, and when he met them at Games Day, it was the biggest man crush in the world. It was actually adorable. But he's super excited because, you know, John Stallard's there, you know, the rest of them. Mr. Bonner can meet all these secret contacts.
Yep.
Mr. Dando and the rest of them. But we will get that figured out. So that's basically the Intelligence Corps. That's what we've been doing for the last
three, four months.
It's quite pathetic. Yeah. Although, I will say this, we hit our year anniversary last month, and we did manage 6 shows in a year.
Yes.
So once every 2 months was the schedule we were aiming for.
But we did have to get one of our listeners to remind us of the date of this.
That was somewhat embarrassing when a listener tells you it's your podcast's birthday and none of us noticed. Although I'm not sure if that was the birthday from when I created the Facebook page or when we recorded the first show.
I believe it was actually the first recording.
You think so?
Went out. It was February.
February?
Yeah, because we did the first recording after January, February.
Yeah, that sounds
about
right.
And you managed to get it turned around really quickly.
Well, look, this one should be edited fairly fast because, well, it's just me and Bonner in the basement alone.
So the language is cleaner and crisper.
And there's no inappropriate comments about Marine Corps and...
or a ramble about Dunkelgeld.
Dunkelgeld, yes. Which, by the way, we should probably point out, Mr. Warden's been missing in action for what, about 6 months now?
Yes.
He's still not paying anything.
That we know of.
That we know of. We actually saw him. We know he's still alive because we saw him a few weeks ago. We played a game against him. I got an air draw.
I saw him take Jamie to school.
Yes. And Ali, we see Ali every so often. He pops into the shop to buy some models. I believe he's working on some Soviet cavalry.
Well, they're animal-based upgrades.
Oh, there is. Yes,
he's got his dogs,
he's got his cavalry,
and he's got various other plans that he's got decided.
And I think they're still, him and Andy Meekham are still talking about their second armies. I believe.
But I think Andy's
America actually, is where they're going, it's America.
I think Andy's sticking with his Germans currently because he's got plans to, I'll leave that to him to release the information for him. But
so I think that brings to the end of the Intelligence Corps.
Yes.
Yeah.
Or the not-so-intelligent Intelligence Corps.
I don't know. We'll be back quite soon.
Yes.
Thanks.
Hello, this is Alessio Cavatore, and for all your gaming needs, go to sixes2hit.com.
So that's us back after that little short message there. I'll say short, I've not put the message in yet, so I don't know what it is. We're on our topic of the month now. Now, as you know, title of the show is White is the New Grey, because the whole gaming world in Edinburgh seems to think I'm obsessed with painting grey. And let's be honest, my Marine Corps are definitely not grey. So, we've been doing this for about a year now.
Mm-hmm.
We spoke at the very beginning about the challenge of going from science fiction fantasy miniature painting to war painting.
Historical
painting. It was a big leap for us. Now, myself and Mr. Bonner, we've both got a couple of armies.
Mm-hmm.
Bonner's obviously got the entire British Army in one-to-one scale. I'm working on my second list, which is, well, I suppose, it's really my third one, but it's a remake of the first one, the Winter Germans. Now, Winter War is something we've all just started doing.
Mm.
Started off with Mr. Bonner and his Finns. So, you know, you went from painting British Tommies,
mm-hmm.
you and British Tommies, yeah, to Winter Finns.
My first ever time painting anything white, yeah. miniature-wise, yeah. So this was a complete eye-opener to me. I did get a whip around the brain trust trying to figure out what would be the simplest way of doing this for my technique of painting.
And I think, listeners, my suggestion was the best one, and it was to start at grey and work your way up.
Correct. And then I got Ali involved in this.
Because he can paint.
At which point he went, well, you'll need 7 different shades of grey, followed by 7 different shades of white. And don't forget the eyeballs and
the eyebrows.
And eyebrows, yes. Oh dear, it went from one of those ones where I went, right, this is going to be a very simple, it's just white.
Yeah.
To really, that's the stages you go through. Holy moly.
Yeah.
Asked Mr. Meekin.
Another good painter.
He wanted crisp white.
Oh, right.
For everything.
Right.
White has been daunting for me. But I did decide to go slightly different.
Okay.
And that I sprayed them white,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
and then washed them milk black.
Yeah.
Giving them a smoky gun.
Yeah.
Gun smoke slash like dirt.
That's the way I would have gone.
And I really enjoyed doing it.
Cool.
If I was to try and do crisp white, I think I would pull my hair out from just. But it just seemed to be far easier doing it the way I found. I like the result of it.
Yeah.
Because
they look good.
It looked more late Winter War veterans rather than the early war where they're all crispy white and nobody's shot any of their
shiny brass buttons, etc.
Yes. So for me, it was just a learning experience of how to do that. I also did a slightly inhistorical inaccuracy with painting my veterans' trousers a different colour of grey.
Okay.
But with the wash on the top of them, it actually looks really good. It defines the jackets from the trousers and the boots and everything in between.
That works.
But because I've got a couple of the summer war fins to paint, this is going to be dark grey. So this is something I've touched on before, but this is going to be, I don't know if it'll be easier, but it's something different again. Then I've also got the finished vehicles I've just acquired.
Yes, Mad Bob miniatures again.
And this is where I've hit a scupper.
All right.
The camouflage pattern for the finish during the war.
Okay.
Is inspirational.
Okay.
But I've got no clue where to start with it.
Okay.
This is going to involve blue tack, 4 different shades, and because they start. As far as I'm aware, you start from a grey base, and then there's a green base on the top, and then a brown, and then there's another yellowish colour.
Okay.
So it's the way, it's like the funny oblong shaped camouflage. Yeah. So I'm thinking about doing that, or I'm going to go with the Soviet
whitewash
green.
Oh,
with the whitewash on the top.
Well, I can talk about the whitewash in a minute because I've got that figured out now. But yeah, so you've got that to do.
Yes, got that to do.
Interesting. We'll need to figure a winter board to play on it.
Yes, well, that was the one thing that was brought up, was the fact that we're starting winter armies, we've got no winter boards.
No, we don't. We have a mud board, many mud boards, as this is it. We'll have a Stalingrad board soon. And we've got a nice summer's afternoon in France to play on.
Yes.
But
which was funny when I went to the tournament because there was no whites on any of the boards
whatsoever. Yeah, it was quite amusing.
So with my movement tray / hobby board, they looked at home, you could barely recognise that they were there because it was white. But when you put it on any of the other tables, they stood out.
Yeah, they did look good though on the table. Mm. Your little tray looks awesome. I need to make one of that for my Germans. Mm. I'm obviously doing Ardennes list now. I'm thinking winter. Mm-hmm. I know it was in the sort of ultimate winter period it happened, because obviously December, Christmas Day, the German Americans were getting attacked and all that sort of stuff. So the way I'm painting my infantry is going to be interesting, because I'm using a mixture of late war Germans plus the new Panzergrenadier kits. Their uniforms are all out of whack. They're going to have a multitude of different units, different mm-hmm. uniforms. So sitting watching the old Stalingrad movie, the one from 10, 15 years ago,
yeah,
where the Germans are on the offensive. It's the German-based one rather than the Russian-based one that was out a couple of years ago. And they have got hodgepodge uniforms. They've got great coats. They all run in with their summer stuff on, and obviously they struggle through the winter. So the late war German models by Warlord, the plastic ones that I've got a lot of, some of them will have various camel patterns, tunics, mix and matches. Some will have white tunics over the top, they'll have white sort of whitewashed helmets on.
Mm-hmm.
Some will be wearing like white trousers with a green jacket, you know, whatever they've got. They're going to look like a ragtag thing. Bringing the Panzergrenadiers, some of them have got the smocks, they've got the tent style cape over the top. Again, some will be green camo, some will be, their trousers might even be traditional German failed grey with white parts added to them. They're all going to look completely different. I'm going to base them up with some broken rubble, some snow on them, a lot of dirt. So not entirely snow bases, but you know, hints of snow, because obviously we've talked about this before. The vehicles is where it gets interesting. Some of you may have seen the pictures of Stalingrad where I've put in some figures to give an idea of scale. And my Tiger's there, because I decided to give the Tiger a try.
Because the Tiger's in every photo that you do.
Yeah, Tiger's in every photo, because it's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
So
when was the last time you fielded it?
I fielded it once, one time. I actually was trying to sneak it into the Ardennes list, but it's just too expensive for a 1,000-point army. So what I've done is I've taken my Panzerlayer, which is painted up with obviously the Dunkelgeld green-brown mm-hmm. P-dot camel pattern. And after a couple of chats with Judson,
mm-hmm.
we were talking about his use of toothpaste. So I was going to try that, but then I remembered the old salt technique for weathering. I thought, I'm going to give this a try. So wet parts of the models where I think the paint would flake off, put on salt, mm-hmm. let it dry, and then white sprayed, GW Games Workshop Skill White Spray, over the top of the Tiger, left it for half an hour, then scrubbed off the salt, which then showed through the camel pattern,
yeah. The
numerals, the wear marks, so it looks like they've basically whitewashed over a pre-existing Tiger, which is essentially what they would have done. It looks really good. Now obviously I've got to do it with the Stug, so mm-hmm. I think in the case of the Stug, what I'll do is I'll just spray it failed grey, dark grey, blitzkrieg colour, do the salt weathering, have that shining through, not do the camel pattern, because the camel pattern took me a long time to do.
Well,
but the vehicles are going to be really worn. It's a ragtag force of vehicles, because obviously they're in the midst of a campaign.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, you're right, painting white is exceptionally difficult. I think what I will do with the infantry is spray and black to start with.
Mm-hmm.
I will try and find a Humbrol or a Tamiya tin of spray paint that's close to German camel green.
No, just the gentleman to ask.
We do know the gentleman to ask. Mr. Fogarty, one of my models, will be very helpful with that. Like I did in my US Marine Corps, I'll base them with that. And then I'll either airbrush or spray or paint on the white. I'm not sure which yet. I'll have to play about with a couple of test models first of all.
Because
mm-hmm. they're not going to be all white. It's going to be parts of the uniform are white. So it's going to be interesting. But I'll probably start with grey.
Yeah.
And then go up to the white. Similar way to a paint my Marine Corps, so they're going to be a little bit brighter than they should be. to give that sort of, as Ali says, to make them pop on the table at sort of 4 foot range. They're going to be a bit grimy.
That's definite.
I mean, I've got some of the converted guys ready in my pan. The squad I've built so far, the Panzer Grenadier with the Panzerfaust, is carrying it low slung on the right arm. His left arm is carrying an M1 carbine. Because they've obviously stolen some American equipment, so he's got rolled up shirt sleeves, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. I'm using some of the arms from the Marine Corps because they do, look really good.
Plus they do, with the Warlord Blaster, they do interchange.
They do, they do. I've seen Mr. Andy Singleton's Winter German conversion, he's using the Winter Soviets. Kind of tempted to pick up a couple of sprues them, chuck in some great coats. But then I've been stealing his idea, which I'm quite happy to do.
I was going to say, there's no like a acquire other people's ideas for sure. If it's really good and such.
But it's going to be interesting. I don't want to go to the Finnish extreme with everyone wearing white smocks, because obviously at this point, Germany's not got the resources. A lot of them have just simply got bed sheet tied over the top of their greatcoat. Ragtag, remnants of Panzer Lehr, what's left of them after they've been reinforced for the second time back to full strength. But it does seem like we're moving towards winter.
Yeah.
I mean, we started off with European theatre. We did, me and you did your British. I had my Panzer Lehr for Normandy. I jumped across to US Marine Corps because I loved the models, so it was camel green paint. Very simple paint scheme, very fast. Now I want to do something slightly more difficult.
I think Ali set us on this route.
I think he probably did.
Slightly wintered bases.
Yeah, his winter bases look very good. As you can see them on the pictures on Facebook, they look very interesting. The other thing is, I'm still kind of humming and hawing about building the Desert Rats army. I have to give props to LRDG because it was their double Matilda, double 25 pounder list that I am intrigued by. Attempted to build a Royal Artillery Company for them, but that's in the future. The Germans are slow build. I've built a squad. I can't paint them yet because I'm still figuring out what the units are going to be like, because I don't want a squad of late war German figures when I squad of Panzer Grenadiers. I want to mix a lot together.
Yeah.
But I'll get that figured out. But,
you're going to paint them per squad then, rather than individually?
Well, the full squad I've built now is made up of late war German bodies with a mixture of Marine Corps, and obviously they've got, most of them got the right rifles on. I'm basically going to count how many figures I have in the army, which is six-man squads.
36.
36 models. Take off six of them as Panzerfaust models. So I want to make, I'm going to make six Panzerfaust armed guys. They'll all look different, different uniforms around. And then I'll just make 30 assault rifle armed guys. Obviously, six of them will have different hats for being sergeants. And I'll just intermix them, then I'll number the squads. So maybe there's a guy with a great coat, maybe there's two guys from the Panzer Grenadiers, three late war.
Yeah.
I've got a couple of the early war Blitzkrieg miniatures models left, the plasmas. I might even chuck in a couple of them just for something different.
And their helmets.
Their helmets, yeah. Literally just ragtag remnants of Volksgrenadiers. That's the plan. But it's, painting white will be different. I haven't painted white since I attempted to paint a White Scars army for a well-known science fiction game about 20 years ago. I think I can do it.
You can do it.
I can do it. It'll be a very, very slow process, though.
It'll depend on the performance on the table, whether you stick it with the Germans again or not.
No, these are going to be a list I'm going to build and keep.
So you've built the list.
The list is built.
On paper, you've got the list.
Yep, same as Marine Corps. Start with a list and work from there.
And you've got the experience of not building that Uber unit.
Yes, not building the 10-man veteran late war here list, Panzer Grenadiers, all armed with assault rifles and three Panzerfausts and two LMGs. Not doing that again, because that didn't work out too well. But yeah, it should be good. But like I said, because of Stalingrad build, the Germans kind of gone on the back burner for a little while. Need to get this table finished because I've got a deadline. Should point out my original deadline was actually Christmas.
Yes.
When I get my new apartment. Now, unfortunately, it's a bit faster than that. It's August, the first weekend in August. So, if anyone's listening who's from Scotland, Myself and Mr. Bonner will be at
definitely
Claymore War Games Show, first weekend in August at the Edinburgh College down in Granton. We'll be running demos of bolt action, and I will have my awesome Marine Corps t-shirt on, or my 60s head shirt, not sure which yet. We'll be there. It's a historical based war game show. Tremendous bring and buy section. Mm-hmm. I get a lot of reference books from there for a quid each, because they're cheap. I believe Warlord are going to be there again with a trade stand. Obviously 68 will be there with their Warlord collection for sale.
It's unconfirmed about Warlord yet, because we've not spoke to them, but you know, they've been there the last few years.
They have their trade stand, and the guys there are pretty good laughs. So me and Mr. Bonner will be there. You can come along and meet us and find out that we actually have got the ideal faces for radio.
Yeah.
Seeing as how I don't think I've appeared in any pictures on the Facebook page yet.
You have.
Have I?
Yes. The one with your US Marine Corps t-shirt on.
Oh yes, yes, my awesome t-shirt, which I believe everyone wants to buy now. But we are, well, we will actually be getting some Home Guard radio t-shirts knocked up soon. Once I get around to it. Goes on the list. I've got a list of things to do, you see. So.
Because he loves thin lists.
Yeah. My wall in my house is covered in about 60 sheets of A4 paper covered in lists.
That's like the American detective series where you have the pictures and then the strings, the wire going about the place.
There's no strings, I'm too cheap for strings.
Yeah.
One thing I will say is that me and Mr. Bonner have released this episode because we know you guys have been waiting for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
We're sorry about that. We can make excuses, but the base reason is working and building a new shop with Sixes and real lives.
Yes.
I got a new job. My missus threw me out. Bonner is breeding again.
Well, in all fairness,
I got married.
I got married, but I'm the one that's the most available.
Yes, that's correct.
It's more everybody else has other commitments which fall in different areas. Ali moved away.
Yep.
Warden's with the baby.
Still alive.
He is. Which we're actually grateful for that he's alive.
Yeah, but he's too lazy to show up these days, so you know. But the intention is we're going to go back to the once every 2 months, at the longest.
Well, that's our target, is once that's every our target. 2 months. If we get more out, which we hope to, then there will be more.
There are big changes obviously coming, because this comes out on the 60s to Hit Network. The changes to them coming are going to be a monthly show from 60s to Hit talking about general war games, little week or fortnightly 10 minutes of myself.
And me.
And yourself, and Mr. Bonner, and some other random guests every so often, just talking about one little topic for 5-10 minutes, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Home Guard Radio will stay on the network, still going to keep making it clean. Because we're all about the clean tea and crumpets.
Oh, yes.
None of the
beer and pretzels
arguments.
Yeah. Or the after hours.
And Mr. The gentleman from the bar and the LRDG, we are intending to try and get some of them on the show.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, we're recording in a custom-made studio here with no internet connection, so that's not going to happen at the moment. And I believe we had Mr. Ward again. Why have I not been on the show?
Yes.
Obviously, he doesn't sound like he's American, but we are going to have Mr. Ward on the show at some point in time. We just need to get it all sorted out.
So we can whip out our collections and see how it goes.
Yes. In the best possible sense of the word. But yeah, so that's episode 7.
Done and dusted.
It is, and we'll speak to you next time.
Goodbye.
Thanks. Bye.
The preceding podcast is the sole property of 60shit.com and cannot be reproduced without permission, which can be obtained via the contact options displayed on our podcast website, forum, or shop. If you enjoyed this podcast, tell your friends, join our forum, and why not leave us an iTunes review?